Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fightful Prediction Show for Elimination Chamber 2024. And I am joined today by Andrew Thompson from Post Wrestling. Andrew, how are you?
What's good, Steph? It's good. It's a pleasure to be here. Glad to see you, man. And I appreciate the invite on the show, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. We had a lengthy off-air conversation about Vince McMahon, and now we can get into talking about the frivolous stuff. Now we can get into the fun stuff. But it is Elimination Chamber on Saturday, live from Perth. What time is that for you, Andrew? Are you going to be watching this live?
That is 5 a.m. Eastern, my time. Wow. So, but luckily, you know, we have the great Neil Flanagan on hand, so Neil is going to be... Neil's going to be taking the reins for me, so shout out to brother Neil. And but I think I'll be up probably, because I mean, you know, Steph, you cover some couple new Japan shows and stuff like that, so you know, probably be up at that time. So I think I might be up for Elimination Chamber, probably.
I'm definitely going to get up. It's like 10 a.m. for me, 10 or 11 a.m. So it's like breakfast time. Brunch time, you know. I think this is pretty perfect. I'm excited to like start my day with a wrestling show, like start my day with Elimination Chamber.
I always get a kick out of like seeing like one of the funnier things is when there's a show like happening in a different time zone, and then you have the people in the other countries that like, now y'all get to see what we go through. Like, you got to get up at X, Y, and Z in the morning. Sure. Like, I always love that part. That's hilarious.
Well, you know, like Americans don't know how good they have it until you get a show somewhere like Australia or Saudi, because like from being a wrestling fan since childhood, my sleep set schedule is like so fucked up, you know, like my actual job, I do a night shift because my sleep schedule is so messed up. I'm like, I don't want to work at 9 o'clock in the morning because I'm probably up till 3 watching Dynamite. And if it's a good Dynamite, I'll be up till four. If there's, you know, if there's a pay-per-view, if there's an AEW pay-per-view, I'm up till like 6 or 7 in the morning once you add in a press conference. So to watch something like in the morning, this, it's, for me, it's very New Japan, because like I'd always be watching New Japan in the morning. So it's going to have like a New Japan feel for me. But we are here, like we're on the last stop on the road to WrestleMania. We got 4 matches announced for Elimination Chamber, and we have a talk show segment as well. So we're going to be going through the card, getting all our predictions in, and you guys can tell us your predictions as well. I want to know what you think is going to go down in the Elimination Chamber. Do you remember the original, I think it was the original Elimination Chamber advert where like Stephanie McMahon had like these dolls, and it was like, this has just popped into my head. If anyone remembers that, like, please let me know and look it up if you don't. But they once did do this really cool ad where like she had like, it was like a dollhouse, but wasn't, it was an Elimination Chamber, but she was like acting like this was her dollhouse. Anyway, bad tangent. We're going to get into the show in just a minute, but before that, let me hear from our sponsors at Bet Online. If you want to put a bet on Elimination Chamber, this is the place to go, and you're going to see the lovely face of Sean Ross Sapp on your screen right now.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
There you have it. Bet online for the Elimination Chamber. But let's go through some predictions and then maybe you can make some educated bets. Do you want to start with a chamber match? We'll bookend with chamber matches, Andrew. Do you want to go with the men or the women first? Your pick.
Let's go with the men's chamber match first. Let's go with that.
Okay. So we have Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul in the Elimination Chamber. And this is for a World Heavyweight Championship match at WrestleMania, a match with Seth Rollins. Okay, Andrew, who have you got for this one?
I think Drew McIntyre is going to win the Chamber at this point. I mean, I think everybody clearly, you know, could see the vision that was coming, you know, prior to CM Punk's injury. It was going to be Punk versus Rollins at Mania. And I think Drew McIntyre is like the probably like the best replacement that you can get in this situation. I was kind of thinking about like some of these like these segments that Sami Zayn has been doing on television. Like he's doing like these real, like I'm trying to find my path to WrestleMania. He's kind of like in the same spot Rollins was in with that 2022. So I was kind of like wondering like how they were going to factor Sami into WrestleMania. And like maybe I could see some along the lines of like a three-way happening between him, Rollins, and McIntyre. I can kind of see Sami like sort of getting to a point where like he becomes like obsessed with like getting his way onto the WrestleMania card, and he can't find his way, so he tries to do anything he can to sort of get on the card. But this specific match, I think Drew McIntyre is probably going to take it. And I was looking at some of like the other talents in the match, like LA Knight and Logan Paul. I think like that's probably going to be like the U.S. title match at Mania, so they can give LA Knight his big moment, you know, because I've not been on last year's WrestleMania card. But when you're looking at the field, Steph, who you think is taking a match is going to be Rollins' opponent at WrestleMania?
I think it's going to be Drew McIntyre. I think that Drew has, he's really benefited from what happened to CM Punk, you know, like I think he really did pray for that. because this, you know, this man has got himself in a really good position, and I think that Drew has been doing like such great work the past couple of months, because like I was never like that heavy into him, especially when they were doing the babyface thing and pushing like all the UK stuff, and I never like got him as a babyface, and he's just been so good recently. He's so funny as well. And the stuff with Punk that he's like latched onto, you know, like causing Punk's injury, doing all these little memes, like his Twitter game is so strong, stuff like that. Like he's just been great. His promos have been awesome. And I think, yeah, he's going to be the one for that spot. And I think he deserves it too. Like he's worked himself into it. And I think if Punk hadn't have got injured, I think because Drew's been so good, there would have been like a problem where they maybe would have had to make it a three-way or told him to just, you know, calm down and stop being so good, because he really like, I mean, he pretty much like outdid Punk once on the mic, which like for me to say that's a big thing. So I think that Drew's going to win it. I think that, yeah, obviously we're going to get other matches set up here. I could see LA Knight and Logan Paul, yeah, as a Mania match. I think that'd be good for both of them. I think that I don't really see anything for Lashley. I think he's kind of just the guy filling a slot that maybe like Bronson Reed should have got. I don't know, because they're in Australia. But like Randy Orton, do you see a direction for him for Mania coming out of this?
That's the crazy thing. Like I'm looking at Orton, and I'm like, just right now, I don't know like exactly like where it's like specifically they can go for him for main. I'm pretty sure they cook up something, but like just off the top, I can't think of nothing. And Lashley, I think for him they just want to try to you know, drag the Street Profits versus Final Testament program, and that'll be like something along the lines they'll try to go. Like I saw somebody just so you just pulled up a comment. Somebody said something about like a multi-person ladder match. I think that'd actually be cool if they were like that idea back, like that. I mean, not Money in the Bank ass, but like more so just bringing back the traditional WrestleMania ladder match. I think that'd be something solid. But as far as that US title go, I think that's probably gonna be just an LA Knight, Logan Paul thing. But yeah, when I'm looking at these competitors in the match, I'm like, I mean, you would think that they would try to I guess build a lot of the Australian talent on this show. Like honestly, when they did the Battle Royal, I know we're gonna probably talk about it on Monday. Like I thought Indi Hartwell was gonna win that. I thought they was gonna, you know, to give her that moment. But I remember one time I had spoke to Shane Hayes one time, and I asked him why him and Mikey Nichols weren't on the first Australia show, the WWE Super Showdown, and his thinking was like kind of interesting. Seeing as how he is Australian, he was just like, when he looked at it from a perspective of like, you know, when these WWE comes to these different countries and stuff like that, of course the talents want to be on the show and stuff like that. But he was just looking at it from a perspective like the people there that are attending these shows want to see the big names, except like they still want to see, like even though they want to see their home countrymen and women, they still come to see like the marquee names and stuff. Like, it was just an interesting perspective to hear that from somebody that was, you know, active on the roster at the time. But yeah.
I know what you mean, because I think like when the All In conversation was happening, there was like quite a lot of people that would just like throwing out every British person ever, being like, they should be like, and it's like I get the niceness of that, but at the same time, like these people are paying to see the people they watch on TV. Not like just their hometown people, like they're paying to see the people that they watch on TV, so that has to be priority, or you feel like you're getting something less than what the Americans get, you know, feel like you're, you know, being outdone. So
they was naming like every single wrestler from the country to be on the show. Hey, on Drew McIntyre real quick, he hasn't re-signed yet, has he?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah. But he's, I mean, he's really, if he hasn't resigned, they're like really like trusting him with the spot that they're putting him in, right? Yeah. You know, and I think he's like driving his price up every week, you know, as well. Because I think if you said to me a couple of months ago, like Drew and AEW, I would be like, oh, it's not really a fit. Like, I don't really see that guy in AEW, but the way he's been acting now, I think he could do anything, honestly.
Yeah, I think Drew is like in the best position possible right now, because like you said, he is up in his stock. Like in the Twitter stuff is hilarious. Like I even saw the thing yesterday with LA. It was a picture like LA Knight holding a koala, and then he like pulled up like they have chlamydia. I was like, you know what I'm saying? Like Drew McIntyre has been hating on everybody, but I think that he is like doing probably some of the best work of like this recent stretch of his career. And I did enjoy the baby face run, but it did get kind of, as sometimes like when you had some, I think a lot of promotions sort of struggle with keeping a baby face hot for a long period of time.
But I
think that I did enjoy it for the most part, but I think that this role that Drew's in right now, I think that he is like catapulting himself into a position that is like sort of, it's like having WWE, like even though he hasn't resigned, it's kind of like we kind of got him, put him in this spot because like he's got like the best thing, the best option we got now that our option A isn't available right now.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move on to the tag team match. We have the Judgment Day, Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. This one's difficult for me. I like the Judgment Day, like they're dragging out this story. I don't know if it's time for them to drop the titles. I know that Triple H just loves Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Yeah. My feelings, like I can get into Pete Dunne. He's great. I can't get into Tyler Bate. Like I just can't. I just can't. I mean, I can't. I don't know. I can't take him. I can't take him seriously. I think he should sort out like the present overall presentation, I think, could be better. And God knows he's had enough time to sort that out in developmental. But I think I don't know. Maybe Dunn and Bate just so they can move forward a Judgment Day story for Mania. And after all, like Damian Priest still has this Money in the Bank briefcase. Like, when is that ever getting cashed in? You know,
he probably cashing in at Mania.
Yeah, he probably is. What do you think?
Honestly, man, like I mean, I don't know if it sounds crazy, and I was actually going to ask you like what you think about it, but I think the long game in this is probably, and this is why I think that Priest is probably going to cash in and win the title at Mania, is that I think that probably in the show opener on that whatever night that they have the tag title match on at Mania, I think that R-Truth and Miz are going to beat Priest and Balor for the titles. And then that'll be a way to like distract people and be like, oh, he just lost, you know, this match to Truth and Miz. Like he ain't, you know, and then like later he'll get his like, what is it? I can't even think of the word right now, but he'll get his comeuppance. There we go. He'll get his comeuppance and then he'll go on to win the World Heavyweight title. And then that'll be his thing. Like, I don't look, what is like a, Damian Priest world title run, like what does that rank on your scale of interest from 1 to 10? Like you'd be like remotely like,
you know, but I think that like Damian Priest, Judgment Day in general, but I think Damian Priest have been doing really well, and I actually think the R-Truth stuff has like dragged him down, like in my opinion, because I think that when Judgment Day started, remember they were with Edge and it was kind of cheesy and corny. Yeah. And I think through the strength of Rhea mainly, and you know, her storyline with Dominic, I think we all got on board with the Judgment Day collectively and started like taking them pretty seriously. And then I think they kind of have been dragged into some comedy stuff with R-Truth that's never going to be serious. And I think that's kind of hampered him a little bit. I don't know what a Damian Priest title run like looks like at this point, because we've got two men's titles and we've got like a lot of big stars. You know, we've got like, we've just talked about Drew McIntyre. We've got Seth Rollins, you know, like Roman, Cody, when Punk comes back, like there's only two titles to share out among all these guys. And Damian isn't in the conversation. And I know that the conversation is usually just about Roman's title, but Seth getting in that mix and Punk too, when he was there, Andrew has made the conversation kind of about both titles. And I think it's kind of, it's a bad time for Damian. I think he probably could have cashed in and had a run like months ago before things got too like top heavy.
No, that's actually like a really good point. Like, now that you say that, like when I'm thinking about it, I think sort of my thinking when that was happening was, I think that Rollins was doing like a real solid job of making that, like sort of making that title his own.
Yeah.
Like, it did for a little bit feel like the secondary championship. And I don't think, Roman keep badgering that in is helping that. Mm-hmm. But I think that Rollins on his own, just with the in-ring work and, you know, him making that title for that. Then, like, especially with when they inserted Punk into the frame.
Yeah.
That's when it was like, okay, like, yes, this is legit. This is a thing. But I do think that they definitely could have gave Priest a run between that. And even if you had plans to take it off him and put it back on Rollins, like, I think that it would have been good to at least, like, because with this Money in the Bank thing, like, I think at some point when you don't have a really, really solid, concrete plan for the individual winning the Money in the Bank, it becomes a burden at some point because you have to continuously keep thinking about, like, we even saw it with Austin Theory. You know what I'm saying? Like he had the Money in the Bank. It was a hot shot idea apparently, and it was just one of those things where it was like they didn't know what to do, and then they ended up with he cashed in on the U.S. title. You know what I'm saying? I think when you have these Money in the Bank, you need to really think about the individual that you're giving this to, and if you see them as a world champion within a certain time frame, you need to have that locked and loaded. So I think with Priest, he's just in a rough situation right now. But I think that probably Mania happened. But going back to what you asked about the match, I think I think Judgment Day gonna retain. And if anybody take those titles off of them, if it's not Truth and Miz, I think it'll be DIY.
Well, the chat agree that they think that R-Truth and the Miz are gonna take the belts in WrestleMania. So okay, I guess I'll agree with everyone else. The Judgment Day are gonna win. Moving on, we have Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax. I think this match is going to be sneaky good. Like, I think it's going to be Nia Jax's best match ever. And I think that, you know, she wasn't someone that I was clamoring for to come back. Like, she's never someone I liked. But she has been good since she's come back. Like, it feels like she's been different, or that she's found like exactly what she needs to do and who she needs to be. I thought she was great against Becky. And I think that this is going to be a good match. It's not going to be like technically great, or it's not going to be Danielson versus Zach or anything like that. But I think it's going to be like, it's going to be a good, fun match. And I think that the crowd are going to be so crazy for Rhea. It's going to be like Selena Vega, you know, in Puerto Rico. Yeah. Like something on the same scale. So I'm looking forward to this. But, you know, Rhea Ripley obviously going to win.
Yeah. Do you think that this should be the main event? Just based off the reaction that Rhea's, because I think when they hear that music, they're going to blow the roof off that joint. Do you think that should be the main event?
I think there's definitely an argument for that. I think I would either put this on early, and then whoever wins the women's elimination chamber, like maybe have like Rhea come out at the end or something.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I said it's going to be a great match, but I don't know if it's like main event great match, even though that the reaction will be great. But I think I don't really want it to open with it either. But I think there's a good chance we'd like see Rhea twice, maybe at Mania or at Elimination Chamber, just to like get that extra pop. But I don't know, would you close with it?
You kind of threw that idea in my head now, like about I'm pretty sure we're gonna talk about it next, the winner of the Elimination Chamber. I think we both probably thinking the exact same person. I think they kind of been giving this shit away for like the past like 4 or 5 months, what this match is going to be. But I think that Rhea showing up at the end just to get another big pop, I think that's the best case scenario. But honestly, like I ain't gonna be mad if they decide to headline with. I don't think this, like, again, it's gonna be some like some classic or something like that. But I definitely think the crowd is gonna carry this match. It's going to be like one of those, you know, matches where the audience is going to be so amped up for real that they're going to be able to take the match to the next level and stuff like that. And I actually think that Rhea and Nia are going to work a solid match. Like you said, like when Nia Jax, this latest run, like I think this has been probably her best run that she's had in like in her WWE combined tenures that she's been in the company. And I think it was a matter of like, I think that started with the most, what was that? I think it was that day one when she pinned Becky and she got the clean win. Yeah. That was that was a big step forward for her presentation and television character. So yeah, man, I think that I wouldn't be upset if this headlined the show, but I also think that idea about Rhea showing up at the end and confronting the chamber win is a nice one. But yeah, Rhea's winning this match, and I'm pretty sure we all know what the Mania match is.
Yeah. I like that Jack here has pointed out that Nia is from Australia. Nia was born in Australia, but I think like they're like purposely underplaying that because like we don't think of Nia as being Australian, right? She was raised in Hawaii, I think. So I think they're kind of like purposely underplaying that in a way. So because the whole thing's going to be about Rhea, you know, in Australia. I think like that's what, because it is kind of like, you know, weird that that's not a thing either, but I think it's like a purposeful thing of like, like, this is, you know, for Rhea.
And the crazy thing is about Rhea, like she, I think in like essence, Rhea is supposed to be a heel, but like people just would not boo her. Like they refuse to boo her. So I think that, you know, even going into Mania, like even going up against who I think is probably going to be Becky, like I don't think that Rhea is going to be on the booing end of the fan responses. Like I just think that people like are really enjoying her character work and the stuff that she's been doing.
She's reached that point where like she's so good at it and so cool that people just want to cheer. It's like what's, you know, happening with Swerve in AEW. It's just he's not someone like you want to boo, you know. It's the same with Rhea as well. They've just been, you know, too good. All right, the women's elimination chamber then. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, Raquel Rodriguez. So we're both saying Becky then. I mean, they've telegraphed it so much, her coming out at the WrestleMania press conference. I mean, they still could surprise us. People always want Liv Morgan to win things. I think like Naomi needs something good for WrestleMania because it's just weird to bring her back and not give her something good. Bianca in there, Tiffany, but it's got to be Becky. I think it's got to be Becky. Yeah. And I do think that this might close the show and we just end with like an awesome stare down between Becky and Rhea in the cage with everyone cheering. I think that'd be a really cool visual. But yeah, you don't see this going any other way, right?
Yeah, it got to be Becky. Hey, did you think Jade Cargill was going to be in this match in that last bat?
No, because I know they put her in the Rumble, but I think that this is like a hard match to send someone in on who, you know, send someone in where they haven't had much, like, you know, she hasn't wrestled a match since her last match in AEW. And I think like to take someone that's not had that experience and be like, your match is going to be an elimination chamber. I just think it's too complicated, not just because of like your wrestling in the structure, but like there's three other women in there as well. I think it's just like a lot for her to do, because even in the Rumble, like I thought they kept her in the Rumble too long because there were spots where like she just wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, she was like lingering around. Yeah.
I would have had her come in, do like a couple big spots, like Nia stare down with Bianca, then have all the women turn on her and throw her out just to like protect her and not give her like moments where she wasn't doing anything. I thought they kept her in that for too long. So that's the only reason why I thought she wasn't going to be in it, just because it's quite being thrown in the deep end. Like, did you think she'd be in it?
So I initially did. But then, when they first announced that Last Chance Battle Royal, I thought that she was gonna be probably like within that field, and they was gonna slide her in. But then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, she would have to either get pinned or submitted to, because I like you would again, because Becky's probably gonna win this match, so somebody was gonna have to eliminate Jade Cargill from the match unless you do something like how you did with Bobby Lashley at the I forgot which the Chamber show in Saudi, like when, when he had tore his pec or something. He tore some type of injury, so they had to get him out of there, but he got out of there without getting pinned. So unless you want to do like some type of convoluted, you know, thing like that. So I think it may be like now is just best to like not ever. Well, I mean, she's not in the match, but you know, within that context of speaking, it's just best to not have her in that match to avoid doing all that, and then you save her undefeated streak. Well, she hasn't been pinned now undefeated streak, but to save her from not being pinned or eliminated or anything like that. Like I did think, just based off the sort of the response that her and Bianca got at the Rumble, I did think that they were going to like go trend toward the direction of Jade versus Bianca at Mania. Yeah. Like I remember I was talking to Nate Chris on the NWA podcast, and they were like, we were just having like a back and forth discussion about it, about like maybe it would be too early to do that, to do a Jade and Bianca match. But I'm like, if you're talking about like what better place to do that match at than Mania, and like the idea about them being like partners or whatever like that, and then fall like I'm kind of over the whole like makeshift, like oh yeah, can they coexist? I don't need to see that. I could just see them being in the issue between them being, you got two alpha women and both of them feel like they can't coexist in the same space, so what are we gonna do about it? I kind of see that, and like I'm looking at some of the other people in the chamber, like Naomi. Like I ain't gonna lie, there was a part of me that was concerned, to be dramatic, and use the word concern, but like I was just kind of thinking like what if she comes back and they just like slide her like right back into the same position that she was in prior to before she left, and like she just kind of comes like a, you know, like a player in a side mission. Like she's not the main character, but like she's the person there, like she'll have her moments, but she's not like the, and especially after the run that she had in TNA where she was the focal point, like she came in and she was probably the biggest star in the division.
In TNA. Yes.
She was immediately positioned in that spot, and I think she had a real solid run with the title. Yeah. And I'm glad they played it up at the Rumble as well. But like even when Naomi, when she had her first segment on SmackDown, like that was about Tiffany Stratton essentially. But at the same time, I was looking at it and I'm like, you kind of gotta do that, because what would you call Tiffany Stratton for if you're not going? You know what I'm saying? If you're not going to user and bigger up on TV, like what was the point of calling her up? So it's not a bad situation to have multiple top people and multiple players who got hype behind them, times who got hype behind them. But I didn't want Naomi to come back and just be like another person on the roster, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like for a long time WWE has always viewed Naomi as like in the same vein that they view Natalya, like they look at her as a valuable piece to the division, but they were going to look at her as like, okay, she's a good hand, but she's not like the person. And I think that just coming off of this last run that she had in Impact TNA, like she's proved that she can, you know what I'm saying, she can be within that mix. So we still were early, she only been back like what, like 4 or 5 weeks, and she in the chamber, it ain't like they forgot about her. So I'm curious to see how her presentation in Elimination Chamber looks, and seeing what she trends towards WrestleMania.
And we have a super chat here. Thank you so much, Fantastic 12484, who asks, what about Liv Morgan? I think the story makes thumbs up sense, I guess. There's quite a few people asking about Liv Morgan in the chat, like wanting Liv to go against Rhea. Maybe they could do a three-way. I just, you know, feel like the Becky one is so telegraphed. Becky's got her lines, Becky. And I know that people have a ton of love for Liv and always want Liv to get opportunities. And she did, you know, a while ago. I remember like her match with Ronda Rousey and everything like that, that period in time. So she has got the opportunity, but I think for a Mania match like Becky, maybe some people are like slightly sick of Becky because she does get a lot of opportunities, but I think to me, like Becky Rhea makes more sense and feels like a much bigger match. They seem like more suited than Rhea and Liv Morgan. But is there something you can see for Liv Morgan to do at Mania, maybe coming off this?
I think Liv, do you remember how they did the showcase match last year? The tag matches for both the women's and the men's divisions. I think I could see Liv is something along those lines. I think that they'll probably pair her and Raquel back up.
Yeah, I think so,
that they'll probably go after the tag titles. Maybe, you know, I can see that happen, or them being some type of showcase. I don't think they're not going to leave Liv off of WrestleMania, but I think that she'll probably be like in a, I don't want to call it like a lesson role, but more so in comparison to what people may want for her. But I just think the Becky and Rhea thing, dude, they've been like building, like they've been building this like even longer than the last couple months. Like they've been talking about this in interviews coming out of Mania last year, like the idea of Becky and Rhea and, you know, that potential matchup.
Becky can carry it, and like, no shade to Liv, but can you imagine Liv like doing on stage what Becky did at like the press conference, coming out and talking, you know, that kind of thing? I can't see Liv doing it. You know, we saw like Bianca did it as well. Bianca can do it, and Becky can do it. But like, I just can't see Liv like in that big spot. And I think that Becky, you know, she's older than Rhea. We're kind of at the point where like Becky, Charlotte, Bailey, Sasha, Mercedes are like the generation before. Rhea's been so dominant now that, to me, like Becky Rhea is a huge match. And I think once we get it made official, if there is anything like lacking in the storyline, you know, I've seen someone said here like Becky doesn't seem like a credible challenger to Rhea. I think they will build her up as that. I think once the match is made official, we're going to see the presentation being really good, because like they can both talk and they can both get some good lines in each other. And I think it is going to end up being, you know, a really good match. That's all our matches, but we do have a Grayson Waller effect with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. What do you think is going to happen here?
Hey, Steph, what do you think there's any possibility of Rock and Roman being in this segment? Or do you think that they'll do something like they'll send Paul Heyman on their behalf?
I think they might, but I mean, look, The Rock could get a private jet to Perth anytime, right? I feel like they would have told us if he's going to be there, because it'd be such a big deal. Though maybe they might tell us on SmackDown. I know it's like a pre-taped SmackDown, but like just so we all tune in, get up and tune in to watch this. I think that if they're not, then it is going to be like Paul Heyman, because they definitely need representation. But I think... I mean, The Rock coming to this show would be huge, because then you have like a lot of fans that probably haven't seen him in person in like a very long time getting that moment. But I don't know, how have you felt about The Rock's insertion into this? Are you a Rock guy?
So just going back to the before I get to that, because I got a thing about that. But just on the chamber aspect, I was like, I do think there's a chance that he could show up and be in, because I remember even I think it was I think it was the West Australian. I think they had reported that they had made like a bid or something along those lines to try to get The Rock to come to Australia. So I think that their hope, and that they would want him to be there, and I think that he probably might show up. I don't know about Roman. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I can see Roman. I'm pretty sure Rock shows up. Roman will probably show up too. And like, I don't even know where exactly they're going with the Rock Roman Seth Cody thing. But I am interested in it. But as far as the Rock's run and his comeback, I've always been I enjoyed the heel version of Rock. That's always been, because that's more so of like a childhood thing, like very like coming up watching wrestling and stuff like that. I've always enjoyed that version of The Rock. So I mean, I haven't had an issue with it. Like, I was kind of I remember when they first did that whole ordeal when he came out and like Cody like willingly gave up his WrestleMania spot. I was like, what is this stupid shit? Like, what are we doing? Like, why? Like, this dude was like literally like 5 days ago was like pointing at Roman, like, I'm coming after you. And then you take counsel from his cousin, and his cousin persuades you to give his WrestleMania spot so they can do this family matchup. You know what I'm saying? I thought that shit was stupid. And like, I even said it. I was like, if that sticks, that would be like the dumbest thing. And I don't think that you would be able to even offer a good explanation to why Cody would do such a thing. But I'm glad they ended up circling back around. I actually wanted to ask you, do you think that this was the plan the whole time, or do you think they saw the reaction on social media and they was like, nah, we can't do this?
I don't think it was the plan the whole time. I think they made a pivot. I do. I think Dwayne went in not fully knowing what he was getting into. I think that in recent years, Dwayne has lost like a lot of self-awareness. You know, he's not a normal guy. And I don't think he was plugged in enough to know how much the backlash would be and how much people were invested in Cody finishing his story to the point where like not even him turning up, you know, made it better. Because like I just don't know how you then explain Cody handing over the match if the plan was always for him to then go back on that. You know, he wins the Rumble, he says I'm coming for you to Roman, he then gives up the match, and then he takes it back again. Like,
did they even explain like why? Like, no. like what was the exact reason that he felt like he needed to offer this match to the Rock? Like, I'm telling you, when I saw that segment, I was like, bro, this shit is so stupid. Like, what are we doing right now? Like, because I mean, like, I remember even when him and Jey Uso won the tag titles, like, I legitimately felt like that was only done so they could get that face to face segment with Roman and Cody, because people were so amped about that. They was amped up. They was like, oh, here we go. And that was like September or October, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, to fast forward that, and then you think about how they went to the lengths of just doing that, just putting the titles on them, and then they took the titles off them not too long after, but just to have that moment to remind people this is the end goal. This, and then you have like, hey, I'm going to talk to your cousin and I'm going to give him the match. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm like, what did this man say to you?
Because it's like, it doesn't even make sense, because he said like, I've taken counsel from, you know, like veterans and stuff. So that means he went to people for advice, and one of the people was your cousin. So your cousin's advice is give it to me. That's a robbery. Like, that's not, you know.
One thing that I have enjoyed though about the sort of the pivot, if you will, about like the Rock's presentation, is that they're like really leaning into, and I think it was Big E who first brought this up on the kickoff, when he was like, you know, heavily mentioning that the Rock is like real tight with Nick Khan and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, that part of it, I really do enjoy that they're like, you know, leaning into that, and the Rock's authority that he now has in WWE, being a part of the TKO board and stuff like that. And of course, Punk, you know,
Nick E on that,
jumping in and being like, I'm punching everybody in the face. Shout out
to Tom, right? Making on that press conference, like he was great, because he was just like saying facts, like he clearly like had no script. He was just like I can say whatever. So he's starting going into like history of like Dwayne knowing Nick Khan and all this stuff, whereas then Punk, you know, trying to like shoot his own angle. So that was awesome. We got Andrew Zarian in the chat. Hi, Andrew. And he says he'll walk is the best Rock. I mean, that's true, actually. I just recently rewatched all like the entire Hollywood Rock run, because over on the Grapple podcast, on their Patreon, that's what they were doing, a retrospective on the Hollywood Rock. And we watched it, I think maybe like 2 weeks before, you know, Dwayne started doing this, and it's just like, you know, funny, like the parallels, like he is doing the same character now. And yeah, I'm glad that he realized that that's kind of how he has to present himself. Like that waistcoat, whatever it was in SmackDown, that was that was something else.
I think a lot of people in the Rock position that, he's like probably one of the, but not probably, is like, I'd say like one of the top stars like in the world, like just not even just wrestling, just period. But I think a lot of people in his position probably would have tried to keep trucking forward and just be like, stick to whatever the game plan was. But I think that if there was a pivot and that was his doing, I think that's very self-aware of him to realize like what was happening and then make that transition for himself to move to this heel role. And like even now that he's in the heel role, it now allows for the audience to play along with him in the sense that they can boo him. Because I think they were legitimately booing him at one point, but like for a split second, but when it was between him and Cody. But now I think that those boos have, because he's now playing this heel role, I think those boos are more transitioned into more so of a, we're just playing along now for the ride, because now you're in the role that we think you should be in. And then now they also get to still, you know, chant along with him and do his catchphrases. Bro, when people see that, when people hear that man's music, they go crazy. You know, like it's not like The Rock coming out and he get like booed out the building and they go crazy. Yeah. And then that's when he leans into it and they're like, okay, we're supposed to boo him. And then he goes back into his catchphrases and they're like, let's do the catchphrase with him. And like, you know what I'm saying? I think that this is just better suited. But like, what do you think? I mean, obviously, I think The Rock is wrestling at WrestleMania. I don't think that's off the table. But like, what do you think happens? Like, do you think they go Rock Roman versus Seth Cody night one or something like that? And then, but then at that, Seth is recovering from the injury, so I don't think that they would have him wrestle back to back nights. You know, I can't see that happening.
I think he'd suck it up and do it. You know,
he probably would. Yeah.
I bet you it was harder to convince Roman to wrestle two nights in a row than Seth. To be honest, I think they're gonna do the tag, and then I think it's gonna be Roman Cody, and I think that. Yeah, Rock probably had a word with Roman and was like, you are gonna have to wrestle two nights. Like, there's no getting around this. But I think, you know, I think a tag match is better for The Rock anyway, because I think a singles match with The Rock, like at this stage, you know, he's over 50 and he's not like over 50 in the way that Sting is, where he's wrestling every few weeks or whatever. Like,
basically,
you know, he has wrestling ages, and I think that whatever we think of what Rock and Roman it would be in our head, like when it actually happens, it won't be as good as we thought it would be. So yeah, I think that he's better off like in a tag match. And if they, you know, and it's gonna be huge. Like just him being in the ring is gonna be like no matter what. So yeah, I think we got a tag and then we got singles.
Hey, I actually wanted to ask you. So what do you think about the sort of the presentation of Bayley and Io, because I feel like Bayley has been like she won the Rumble. Like, I'm pretty sure you heard the same reaction I heard. Like, people they wanted that. Like, that was like from the moment Bayley got in the match. Like, people was like fully behind Bayley, and they felt like this moment that a lot of people were anticipating. And like they haven't done like a bad job of building the match, but I'm talking about just making it on the same scale, because essentially like what they like to present is that the winner of the Rumble goes on to main event WrestleMania. That's the thing. Most of the time it doesn't happen, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about, and most of the time when that happens for the women's Rumble, it's not happening for that division. Like, it happens for the men's division, like one of those matches closes the show. But like for the women's match, it does happen. Like, I was thinking about Bianca. She won the Rumble and she headlined with Sasha, and they had the great match. You know, the first two black women to headline WrestleMania. That was a great fucking match. That was one of my favorites. But I'm thinking about like just this specific presentation of Bayley and Io. They've done like a good job on like television of building it up. Like, they still waiting on like Dakota's decision. You still have that factor in and stuff like that. I think Dakota's probably going to end up turning on her at some point, just to further get Bayley that push. But like, even the lack of presence from Bayley at the kickoff show, you know what I'm saying? Like, you would think that you would have Bayley on that show, like even if it was like a backstage or something like that. Like, you like, she just
CM Punk had to go make a video about it.
You know what I'm saying? But I was gonna ask you what you think about that.
Yeah, I think that Bayley has kind of fallen victim to being like lost in the shuffle, because like all the men are like tied up together, but it's across both shows, like across, you know, Raw and SmackDown. They're all tied up together. And it's like so huge because you've got Dwayne involved. And then Rhea just herself is like so dominant. And Bailey's definitely not getting the right amount of attention, and she is the Royal Rumble winner, so she should. And her story has been like so long term, you know, this damage control story, and Io and Kairi joining and all that, you know, like that's been a long played out storyline. But so they've got like everything they need for it, but yeah, I just don't think that they found the space to like spotlight her on the same level. They absolutely could have had her come out and talk for a minute or two at the press conference. Like, it's you know, Bianca, she had a show to promote, so I get why she was there. And obviously, like, we know why Becky was there, but at the same time, like, you could have included
Bailey. That match wasn't official.
Yeah. It's like you could at least bring out the woman that actually has a match.
But yeah, man, like and then but you wanna know what? Like, I feel like that's like really on brand for like how Bailey, like her most of her run has turned out. Like, she's always been one of the more like consistent people on the roster in terms of like always making just like anything work, but like never getting like the full credit. Like, she's always getting like half of the credit. And like, even in this exact same situation, she's like, she's a focal point, but it's like a kind of an afterthought, like how you just said.
She's, I think, the horsewoman that gets the least. Like, I...
Yes, 100%.
I find it really hard to choose between Sasha, Mercedes, and Bailey as like who is my favorite women's wrestler, but it's one of them. But I do think that like they are equally good, and I think that Bailey, like especially during the pandemic, remember she got injured right as the pandemic ended, well, when they brought crowds back, and like she was so good. Even if you just take the fact of like what her NXT character was compared to like what she became, like the difference in that was like really good. And there's just something where she's kind of just the like always the bridesmaid figure of the four horsemen, because I think that Mercedes gets like a lot of attention, and Mercedes is Mercedes' presentation is so awesome, right? Like, like everything about her, like she looks like a star. She's got the whole like boss gimmick, all of this, and there's like stuff you can emulate. And I always wonder that if Bailey had stuck with her original gimmick with like the bows and everything, if people would have like taken to her more as well. Like, maybe not in the same level because it wouldn't be as cool as Sasha, but at least she would have this kind of like unique branding and styling in a way that she never got as like just being Bailey.
I kind of think that like the presentation of her, like that thing like was like went into the ground, like especially when they had that program that they were doing like with Alexa. What was that, 2017 or 2018, like they was like running that thing into the ground. And I feel like this new iteration of Bailey that we've seen since what, late 2019, I feel like this is like the best version that we needed to see that gradual transition. Like, I even saw people talking about like they were hoping to hear like the Hugger theme at Mania. I'm like, no, we don't need to revert back to that. We don't need to see that. Like, she's an elevation. Like, it's good to have those memories. Like, maybe they can do something along the lines of like you remember what they did for the what was that, Double or Nothing 2019? I think it was Jericho, when they had like the different like iterations of his past characters. Yeah. And like maybe you could do something like that, and like you know, just the pay homage to you know what I'm saying, to Bailey's past. But I don't need to see like her coming back out with the ponytail and the like. This is a new version.
It wouldn't make sense, you know.
It wouldn't.
We see her as, you know. Well, we see her as an adult now. Like she's an adult woman. Like, she was an adult woman when she was doing that gimmick, but it's just unlikely that you're gonna like revert, you know, way back to that. She could definitely change her personality into being like a, you know, like a friendlier person or something, because like she trusted these girls and like they turned on her or something. But it would have to be something like something in between. But I remember when she turned heel I interviewed her and I asked her if she was an emo because people online were saying that like it was Bailey was in her emo phase.
She was, you know, she was
suddenly like, you know, dressing different and everything. And I just like flat out, like she had been in character the whole interview. And then I was just like, so are you emo? And like, that's when she just like broke character and started laughing. Like, what?
I wanted to bring up your past point about the like the horse women. This has always been my thing with the presentation of like the four horse women individually and collectively. Mm-hmm. I always feel like, of course, they view Charlotte as the number one. I'm talking about WWE. Charlotte's the number one in their eyes. To me and to a lot of other people, I think that Mercedes has always been the one that has stood out more so just from the in-ring performance. And the presentation, and just like you said, that cool factor. Like there are like some people in wrestling who just look like they belong on television in those marquee spots. Mercedes is one of those people, and all of the horse women like that. But I'm specifically speaking about Mercedes. And like I always felt like they looked at Mercedes as like, okay, glass break. We need some hat. Let's just give it to her real quick, and then they take the title off her, and then they give her another title, and it's like that. That's always been like a repeated theme, and it's never been anything of like substance to her in comparison to some of the other horsewomen. And I feel like even Becky was in a position. I remember back when, what was that, 2016, when SmackDown Live was first going on, bro. Becky was like the redheaded stepchild. Like Becky was like the offshoot. You know, like Becky was like, she wasn't this big star. Like Becky was in a position kind of like how Bailey was in, like where people just wanted her to see her go to the next level. And it wasn't until they had that thing with Charlotte when she turned on her, where WWE wanted Becky, they thought Becky was gonna be the heel coming out of that, and they ended up turning the exact opposite. So you know what I'm saying? And again, we just spoke about Bailey, but I always felt like they never, in terms of the horsewomen, it was always Charlotte number one, and then Bailey and Sasha and Bailey and Mercedes. I feel like they always looked at them interchangeable in the 3-4 spot, but it was never any of them on top. And then Becky eventually came up and took the number two, but I feel like it was always Bailey and Sasha, like they would just swap them 3 and 4, 3 and 4, 3 and 4, and it was never either of them ever got that chance to be like the number one. And and honestly, like even looking at Mercedes, like I feel like going to AEW is like the best option for her. Like I thought that was like the move to make even last year when they was like speculating about like whether she would go back to WWE or not, because I feel like she going to WWE, I don't feel like Paul Levesque will book her in a way to where she feels like less than, but I also feel like she's done everything kind of that there is to do there, and I feel like the AEW just like a fresh start, and she'll be like that big name in a division that's like really on the up and up right now. And like you're talking about, like even the signers like Queen Amanada, who I think is great, and then like Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale and Britt Baker, possibly Britt Baker coming back, and Jamie Hayter coming back, and you got Thunder Rose in the mix, and you got like Julia Hart. You have like a really solid core division, and then now you adding this big name in Mercedes, who I think is only going to uplift the names that are already getting uplifted on their own. So I just think like that's a better overall fit opposed to going back to WWE and then just being, you know, it'd be a hat for like 3 months and then, you know.
Yeah. I think you're right. Like I only didn't want Mercedes to go to AEW because of the bad booking of the women's division, right? And because of Tony's just complete lack of interest in in women wrestling or anything like that. But you know, we find out last night they've hired Jennifer Pepperman. It feels like, you know, I said this on Twitter, that my issue with Mercedes going to AEW was like, is she really going to be happy here? Because the women's booking is so bad, and, you know, and she deserves like a lot. And I just feel like because I would think like, has she been watching the TV? Like, does she think that, you know, there's going to be good women's storylines here? But now I'm like, yeah, she has been watching the TV, and she said, no, I'm not going to sign unless you improve the women's division and bring on someone to help you, Tony, because you clearly can't, you know, do it yourself. It's clearly a blind spot for you. So now we have a woman that worked with her in WWE has been hired. And yeah, we have recently seen some, like, you know, sneaky signings like Queen Amanada that show you that they are trying to build the division. So now I think that, yes, they have like set the table for Mercedes and AEW. They've worked on improving the women's division.
Like I'm thinking about, and I'm like, Mercedes, like this is like AEW's women's division. I don't think the booking has been the best, like at all. But I think that the talent, when they are given those opportunities, they always show out 9 times out of 10. Like they, most of the time, they always deliver. And I think that they have been able to like sort of offshoot that sort of lack of booking and lack of interest, like you said. And I'd also think it's like important for people not to like pin all of like. One of my things is like I hope that she doesn't come to AEW and then like people immediately pin a lot of responsibility on her for whether this goes right or whether this goes badly. And I'm like, I don't think that should be her. I think that you need to.
This is my other worry too, like because I do believe they've definitely like set the table for her. Like they're improving things for her, and like
she got her own show.
They hired Jennifer Pepperman like for her, and I just hope that that doesn't cause any like resentment as well, like in the locker room or whatever. Because like you know, when it was Britt Baker's time and everything was about Britt Baker, that caused a lot of resentment, and you heard it from fans. And
I think Britt even said that herself in a couple of interviews. Yeah, she was like, it was. You know,
and people blame Britt, but it wasn't Britt's fault. It was Tony's fault for not being able to focus on more than one woman. So I hope like where Mercedes coming in, it's a spread the wealth situation where like, yeah, Mercedes is obviously going to be on top, book her really strong, but then like, you know, give Queen Aminata a storyline or a win, you know, like give spread it around where like everyone has something to do. Like there's multiple storylines going on and like people can rise up and down the ranks. Like, I mean, the division has 2 titles and they still like, it's just crazy. I know, right? Like how little focus there is. So yeah, my only worry would be that she comes in and it does cause like a resentment of like, you know, we've been here for like 4 years and got nothing. And now all of a sudden things are, you know, there for Mercedes. But hopefully like that won't happen. Hopefully like Tony hiring someone else means he's serious about fixing this and like offloading some of the responsibility.
Yeah. And like even I'm thinking about like even like on the ROA side, like what Athena's doing, like I think that 2023, she was like the best women's wrestler in North America. Like I think that the work that she did last year was really, really great. And even like the storyline with her.
I just gotta say, like the Athena thing is an example of Tony Khan's problem with, you know, booking women or doing good things for women, because Athena was the only Ring of Honor champion that was never showcased on Dynamite. You know, right? And like Athena was having the best matches. Everyone's talking about Athena.
Hey Steph, do you remember? I don't know if you remember this, but I remember it was a pre pay-per-view media call when I hate when I can't remember who asked these things, but somebody had asked and they was like, are we going to see like Athena on Dynamite? And he was like, yeah, you know, I would love to have Athena. I was like, bro, so book on Dynamite, bro.
It was wild. Like, I agree with you. Athena was the best women's wrestler last year. It's wild that he just didn't give her that exposure that he afforded to every male champion, like from Ring of Honor, or even people, you know, that are mostly on Ring of Honor. Like, you know, you'd be on Dynamite and it would be like, here's Dalton Castle and the boys. And it's like,
right.
But not Athena. Like they couldn't just give Athena like a jobber match before pay-per-view to tell everyone to watch the pay-per-view because Athena's going to be on it. Like she headlined the last Ring of Honor pay-per-view, right? You would think you'd want the person headlining your pay-per-view
She headlined that before Dishonored too, right?
Yeah. She just still couldn't get a match. And like Willow's another one. Like we'll have to wrap up because we're going into AEW. But Willow's another one because I genuinely feel like And I felt this before I interviewed Willow and after I interviewed Willow, that like Tony didn't realize he hadn't signed Willow until it was pointed out to him, and then he signed Willow. Because like I said to her, like, oh, it really, because it took ages for her to actually get the contract. Yeah. And she was like, yeah, it did. I didn't want to ask or bother anyone about it, you know, but yeah. And I just felt from what she was saying about their interactions that he just like didn't realize like she wasn't signed, because he was using her so much and like she wasn't even signed. And then when she won the Strong Women's Championship, right, that she wasn't meant to win because Mercedes got injured, I think that kind of messed things up, because they were doing like a storyline with her and Jade where she was like always trying to like get better and get another chance. And I think they were eventually trying to make something happen for her on AEW, and then it's like, oh, she just managed to win a belt in another company. Yeah. So it kind of ruined her like storyline of like positivity and like getting better and like learning from your mistakes. But I really like as well. I think that's another person that could have been used better, but you know, maybe with Mercedes coming in. We got two super chats to get to before we head off. First one is from Will Chisholm. That says, the real question is, do Bayley beat EO at Mania? You know what, Will? I was watching Wrestle Purists before we started. I know I have to decipher these. So I think EO has a good title run with over 200 days, so Bayley can have the win. Yeah, I would have Bayley beat EO at Mania. Yes.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
But thank you for that, Will. And then we have, we have Will again. Another one. Okay, it feels like Bianca had the WWE main roster one that we thought Mercedes would have in WWE. I think that they definitely, yes, treated Bianca. They put more stock in Bianca than they ever did Mercedes. I think, you know, the focus that Bianca has got is something that Mercedes probably should have had when she was at the same stage as Bianca, if you know what I mean.
So that's actually like an interesting talking point that like that's one of those talking points I don't think we have enough time to like run through. But
yeah,
like I'm always like so with Mercedes and Bianca in terms of like the comparison and like how those two timelines are like presented, I always felt like when Bianca first came onto the main roster, you know, like she wasn't even used. Like they had her show up at that WrestleMania at the Performance Center, and then they had her sitting in the locker room for like 6-7 months before they actually even used her. And then that's when she eventually got the ball rolling, and then she started, you know, people started gravitating towards her, and then, you know, she went on to become what she has. And it's kind of crazy seeing, you know, Bianca's like in that. She's on the other side of those conversations, like how people look at Becky now, like, Bianca's like she's like in that Cena-esque role, like she's sort of untouchable.
Yeah.
But like with Mercedes, like I always look at her, like, again, it's sort of similar to like what I was saying earlier about like the horsewomen. Like Mercedes was always, to me and to a lot of other people, we always saw Mercedes as that number one. Like she could be that number one if they just let her be the number one. And I think with Bianca in her specific situation, they have allowed Bianca to just be the number one. Like there was no resistance in Bianca's uprise. Like there was a little bit with that shit they did with Becky in 2021 when she beat her in like 7 seconds in WrestleMania. Yeah. Like that was definitely some resistance, man. That just came back to my mind. But like after that, Bianca's like been killing it. You know what I'm saying? Like they've been full throttle with Bianca 100 miles per hour. Like there was no resistance. With Mercedes, there was always that resistance. It was like, okay, put the title on her. She'll have it for 2 weeks, take it off her. And then people were like, oh man, but you know, she had 6 title runs, bro. She had the title for like what? A combined like 6 months with all those title runs combined. And like, she was never like the like person, like the focal point. And like, that's why I always, like, even when we were talking about earlier, it's just, I think that, Paul Levesque has a affinity for those talents that he rose up in NXT, like that were like the day one people from NXT. Like you see how he books Balor, how he books Zayn, how he books Sammy. You know what I'm saying? Like he books Charlotte and Becky and like the Rhea. Bianca, like those people that he like was with from those days, and like that were with him when they first started their careers and such. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Mercedes probably would have got treated within that same vein, but like just talking about those Bianca and Mercedes, I just feel like there was a lot of pullback with Mercedes, and they never
I
fully
think
gave her that, you know. Yeah.
you're totally right, but I think it's a like a it's an interesting conversation, and like someone should write an essay or like a podcast about it. But
Yeah.
I think the time when Mercedes was like on the rise, starting out in the roster, you know, a
Yeah.
couple of years into it, like Bianca is now, I don't think they were smart enough to know how to market Mercedes. Like I think they felt like they didn't know how to market her and make the most of her, because they were just stupid, you know.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, like, there's not even anything you need to do because people just love her and gravitate to her anyway. And I think with Bianca, like, they found so many things to like latch on to. But it's like Mercedes had this stuff, like even like Mercedes, like having like the Snoop Dogg connection, like they didn't even use that properly. But I think with like Bianca, they saw all different ways to like, you know, market her as, yeah, like a female John Cena and everything. Like she's got the reality show now and all of that. And I think that they were just dumb when Mercedes was on the rise to never capitalize on it. And then, you know, you end up like stuck in a spot. Because like Mercedes is like, I think way more marketable than like Charlotte. You know, I think that she got way more like money making potential, but I think they just didn't get her. Like, and it's and but they weren't willing to try. And I
That's
think with yeah, they were willing to try. And I think with Bianca, like they like got her and were like, yeah, we can go with this. And you know, so yeah, but it's an interesting conversation to
That
like
is that
to.
is that that's a that's that was a great question that he pulled up. I think that's something that you could like dissect for like hours too. Like
Yeah.
that is interesting. That's a great question. Shout out to Will. Shout out to Will for the question.
Well, it's been a really great show. We've gone on some like really good ta tangents. Like that was a
Yeah.
really interesting conversation to end off on then. And we, you know, we've talked even talked AEW as well. So it's
Yeah.
been really awesome to have you here, Andrew. I want you to tell everyone where they can find you. Now, I usually listen to every episode of the NWA podcast, but I saw the most recent one is 5 hours long. So I'm gonna wait till Sunday when I'm like cleaning my house to listen to that. So why don't you tell everyone about that podcast and what are you talking about for 5 hours?
Man, so listen. Hopefully, John and Wade don't kick us off the airwaves. That podcast was he said you got to think about this night. What did he say? 99% was myth. Oh
Yeah, I
yeah,
think he's talking about like Sasha
yeah,
and yeah.
yes. That's a big thing too. Like a 99% of that was Vince McMahon. So yeah, there you go. But I mean, you had a conversation about the Vince McMahon allegations and stuff like that before we started recording
We
this one.
did.
Yeah, but like it did that podcast, NWA podcast was 5 hours long. Hopefully, you know we're back next month. I'm joking out. We definitely gonna be back next month. But yeah, we talked about like a lot of our favorite moments just from Black wrestling history. Some a lot of the Black independent wrestlers that we're interested in. Like it was like a lot of like Afrocentric like focused conversation. And then we saved the Vince McMahon allegations for the back end of the podcast. We spent like an hour 30. I think damn near 2 hours like talking about that and like just the allegations dating back to even Rita Chatterton and like you know talking about like the 2022 allegations and like where we're at now and you know the sort of the how when you have those relationships in terms of like a CEO and somebody that works for the company how it would never be like a fair thing because one individual will always have that power over another individual so it would never be something that is consensual in the terms of things are always fair and equal because it's not you like you always had that power over these individuals and like we talked about like the culture of WWE and how like they need to be a complete shakedown and we talked about Ashley Massaro and like we talked about like just a whole bunch of different topics and it was a really I hate to call it a good conversation because I don't think any of those things are like good to talk about in the sense of you know, this is not fun to talk about, but more so it is good to talk about to just, you know what I'm saying, get all that stuff out on the table. It's necessary. Yeah. And it was great to talk to them.
It's great that you're able to, you know, dissect it. Like, you're on there with Nate and Chris, and you're all really smart, knowledgeable guys. And it's, I love listening
to you. And Ray Williams. Shout out to Ray. Two-way Ray.
I'm like, it's great to hear people, like, you know, come together and, like, actually have a conversation about things and actually, you know, like, dissect these things as well. It's really cool. And you're also, you're over on Post Wrestling always. What are you doing over there alongside the NWA podcast? And what else? Yeah. What else have you got?
Yeah, so check out the written work over at Post Wrestling, man. Always writing, and we got a great writing team over there. Myself, Neil Flanagan, John Pollock, and I saw Jack Wannon has been getting some articles up as well. So yeah, we got a good team over there and some good content. So yeah, check out everything over at Post Wrestling, man. And, that's it. I'm gonna check out my interview YouTube channel. I'm planning on rebooting it after WrestleMania or during WrestleMania week. So yeah, I'm gonna try to get back in the interview things, and I am hunting down an Amazing Red interview. So I'm throwing that shit out to the world. Hopefully I can make that happen. I've been like trying to get that for like 3 years. So I think that it's now time for me to start saying it and not keep it to myself. So hopefully we make that happen somehow down the line. But yeah, definitely thank you for having me on the show, Steph.
You're welcome, Andre.
I waited until the end of the show to say hello to my guy, Andrew Thompson, the GOAT. It's what's Stephanie up, bro? Chase as well. Hello. What's going on,
what's up, bro? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. You know, trying to hang in there. How about you?
I'm doing good. It's good to see you, man. How you feeling?
I know. It's been a minute. I'm doing, you know, I saw you were on the show today. I was like, I'm going to crash this at some point, but I didn't want to interrupt.
You didn't know we were an hour and 14 minutes, did you?
No.
You want to know what? So when I was talking to Steph yesterday, when we was like setting it up, we was like, oh, we probably go like 30 minutes or so. And then I had checked in with Neil over at Post, and I was like, hey, can you cover for me, bro? Like, and I was like, yeah, we probably gonna go like an hour. Like, probably and at the very least. Hey, Jeremy, real quick, why were you on this? We were talking about me and Steph, obviously talking about Elimination Chamber. What do you think is gonna be the headline? Do you think Rhea and Nia is gonna close the show? Or do you think Steph's idea, more so of like Rhea coming out and confronting Becky at the end?
Oh, that's a good shout. I think it's gonna be Becky or Rhea and Nia though. But I do like the suggestion of Becky closing, winning, stare down with Rhea. Yeah, I like that.
Steph changed my mind when she said that. I was like, oh yeah, that is a nice shout. I say, I know you've been covering
that's good stuff.
I know you've been covering the events.
Super chat. From Badly B. I'm really sorry that I said that wrong. I'm a The Rock interrupts via satellite to troll Marks.
Hey, you think Rock gonna be in Australia?
No, Triple H has said no. Rock's even said no. I think he's got too much other stuff going on. I do think like a satellite appearance is possible, though. I do think that's possible.
But that's what he used to do when he was Hollywood Rock, you know, before he came out, he'd be like, do via satellite, like from the set. We could get a good throwback to that, I think.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah, for sure.
I will let y'all finish up. I had to, again, pop in to say hello to Andrew. Stephanie was in our chat yesterday, always sending nice messages.
So
I want to say, appreciate it. I want to say hello to you as well. Andrew, miss you all the time, you know, whenever you're ready to come home.
Bro, you know what, that's Sean's bit right there when he comes on the show. And I remember he did that when I was on Rob and Maggie show. I was like, bro, what are you doing right now? What are you doing?
We're doing the Triple H thing. That's what Triple H always says, you know. These guys leave whenever they're ready to come home. We're gonna welcome them. So that's what I'm doing. We'll do a finger point photo and all this stuff.
Steph, you see what they do to me, man. they get my face turned red. Look what's happening.
We love Andrew, the GOAT of all of this. Nobody works harder. There's no one I respect more in this line of work. So I appreciate anytime I see you on a Fightful show, I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's go.
Oh my goodness, bro. Here we go. But no, I appreciate you popping in, man. And I appreciate Steph for having me on the show, man. This is great. We were at hour 17. This is beautiful.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good rest of your day. Andrew, I'm sure we'll talk soon. Stephanie, good to see you. Good to talk to you. Y'all take care.
Peace, my boy.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. I think we've literally talked about everything and we've had a run-in. From Jeremy Lambert. What an amazing show. But I really want to thank you so much, Andrew. And Jeremy is right. You are the hardest working person out here. So I hope everyone go follow Andrew on Twitter. His at is there on the screen. Absolutely check out the NWA podcast as well. It is always so much fun. And yeah, and you guys can follow me over on Twitter and on Threads, which I was talking on Threads yesterday. Everyone was super nice. So I'm at Stephanie MGS on X. And
Threads making a comeback.
Threads making a comeback. People are just happy to see you on Threads. And go subscribe to my Substack, which is something I'm working on really hard right now. It's called Stephanie Cheese Wrestling, where I write about wrestling topics. I just wrote a bit about Vince McMahon and wrestling culture. I'm working on something about John Cena. Working on something about AEW as well. So it would help me out if you subscribe to that and subscribe to Andrew's YouTube as well, because it's really hard to get Twitter to fucking like show people your links. So we have to just ask people to, you know, subscribe to show without putting the link down there, don't we? You know?
Yeah, man.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you all. Thank you to everyone that sent in the super chats as well. The next time I'll be back on Fightful will be AEW Revolution for Sting's last match. So I will catch you all then. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.